all here on May 11, 2011. And listen, sometimes I shouldn't do an intro, and maybe this is one of those days. I had lots of things to talk about, but none of them were really relevant. So this is what I chose to tell you about today. I was reading about the assassination of Osama bin Laden, and it looks like the U.S. government tells you exactly how they got the information that eventually led them to him. They bugged this guy, they tortured that guy, they followed another guy until they got everything they needed, right? Then they went after him. And one of the bloggers I was reading, he asked this question. He said, why on earth would they reveal this information? Doesn't it give our enemies an edge if they know exactly what we're doing? And I have to say, it seems obvious that he's right. And I've had the same argument with some of the popular bloggers in the recruitosphere. I said, why do you tell everybody exactly what you're doing? That information is your competitive edge. And you know what they say to me? They say, look, telling all of my secrets is my way of advertising. I tell everyone what I'm doing because then they're going to think, hey, I want to do that too. And they can't. They can't do it. So they're forced to hire me. And maybe that's what the United States is telling everybody when they say how they got Osama. What they're doing is telling their enemies, don't even try it, because you can run, but you can't hide. Now, I want to just take a little shift and move this same discussion in the direction of this show. On this show, we ask people exactly what they do. And we've had some very big money makers on the show. Some of the regular callers are very successful. So I'm wondering if you could listen to this show and become a fantastic recruiter as a result, or if we're just putting gold in the hands of people who can't use it. Maybe we're giving running shoes to people with sore feet, or books to people who can't read, or singing lessons to people with laryngitis. I can give you more of those analogies, but I won't. I mean, I often see people, this is why I say this, I see people all the time saying, hey, the animal show is mainly entertainment. I don't go there expecting to learn anything. Or they say, hey, the animal show is mainly entertainment, and it isn't even entertaining. It's too long. It should only be a half an hour. And I learn more about shooting muskrats on the after show than I learn about recruiting during the main interview. Yes, they say that. But now I understand from what the U.S. government is doing that maybe the problem isn't with the show, it's with the audience. You can drop all kinds of information right in their laps and they won't be able to use it. So here's what we have on tap today, a show that most of the listeners will not enjoy. And Jerry, what show is that?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
I go through it a few times before the show.
Yeah.
And I just didn't have time to do that today. I was a little off. I'm sorry.
Okay,
give me another shot. One more shot.
You know, we got two people here. I got to check them in, but I want to come back to you for a second, Jer. Just let me see if they showed up. Robbie Brogan, are you here?
I'm here, Animal.
Great to hear you, and I can understand what you're saying, too. After last week's disaster, when the guest thought he was smarter than me and called in on Skype after I told him not to, I'm just happy to hear your voice, Robbie. Thank you. Kepi Careers. Thank you. Kepi Careers, are you here?
I wouldn't miss it.
Are you nervous, dear? I think you're probably a little nervous, are you?
Should I be nervous?
Maybe. I won't say. Depends how soon you leave. But just hold on for a second. I got to talk to Jerry Albright for a minute. Now, Jerry, Are
me?
You still there? Yeah.
That's a bit early to be turning the show over to me.
Yeah, I noticed over on recruitingblogs.com you had a posting and you got a comment from a girl called Jennifer Kelly. And she said, Jerry, it's so hard to find really valuable candidates that I find even wasting 15 minutes a day is a substantial loss. I would be curious to know how you find time to write and reply to blogs. The guilt, she says, would be too overwhelming for me, knowing that it doesn't really lead to anything that useful in terms of someone getting placed. I've got the answer, Jerry. You're a fantastic multitasker. I learned that last week because I was talking to the guy and you weren't even there. You were taking care of business. I don't care if you're doing your business calls during this show, but then don't come back here and start whining that I ended the show early when you weren't ready for it. You know, you don't have a union. Come on, I had to end that show. That guy, I couldn't even hear him, and you come and say
Hold on. You said you had a question for me. However, you referenced a blog that I was involved in, and then you just proceeded to slam me?
Sorry.
What kind of question is that? Is that, like, rhetorical or what?
Well, I'll just close
Am I
it
supposed
off.
To respond to that?
If this guy stinks today and I don't like him and I cut the show early, I'll do it. I don't care what you want.
All right.
Okay.
It's still your show.
Thank you. Now, look, you can talk about muskrat hunting in your backyard all you want on your show, but don't tell me when to end mine. Now, look, I want to tell everybody before I get back to Bobby and Kepi about allcountyjobs.com. All County Jobs is a paid sponsor of the Recruiting Animals show. And what do? They have job boards that cover specific counties. They've got job boards that cover specific counties. Did you get it? They've got EasternMassWorks.com. They've got WesternMassWorks.com. They've got RhodeIslandWorks.com. They've got NewJerseyJobShop.com. They've got NYCityWorks.com. They've got LongIslandJobs.net. They got a lot of job boards, and each site links to the others to form a network of thousands of job listings right along the East Coast, allcountyjobs.com. Can you say it with me, Miriam? Allcountyjobs.com. Bobby, allcountyjobs.com.
Allcountyjobs.com.
Thank you very much. Chris Russell will be happy. At Chris Russell owns it. You got any problems with it? Go to him. Now, thank you, Robert. Okay, Robert, you know what? I got to tell you, you're so lucky. That other guy dropped out, the other job hunter. And instead, I've got Kepi Careers here, a professional counselor. I mean, you are so lucky that I'm going to put her before you. She has just put out a book that I played a part in that book. And so did Jerry indirectly. She asked me for a contribution. And so I wrote up a report of something Jerry told me about LinkedIn. We'll get to it in a minute.
Yeah, I discovered all of that.
You did discover it, and I acknowledged you, Jerry. I acknowledged you, and she challenged everything I said, and she tested it, so it's for real. I mean, she's very extreme, let me tell you. You'll see in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
Anyway, I can't even remember what I was going to say. Yeah, so I woke up one morning, Sunday morning. I couldn't sleep. I got up at 5 in the morning, and she sends me the stuff for the book. She showed me what I sent to her. She sent me back, and I start reading my own material, and it was changed. And I said, where does she get the nerve to change my writing? Yeah, and I sent her a real nasty note at 5 in the morning or 5:30. I said, what's up with that? And we went on back and forth, sniping through the day. Finally, I apologized to her. You know, sometimes Jerry will call and apologize to me, even though he thinks he's better than me and smarter than me. And I called up, and I don't know if I called you, but I wrote to you, Kepi Careers. I wrote, and I apologized, and I apologized again, and maybe even again, just to show I meant it, because I'm a man. I'm not afraid to apologize. So I just want everyone to know that. Am I right?
You are right.
Okay. So your real name is Miriam Sal Peter. Is that right?
That is.
You know, I got to tell you, that's the weirdest name. Saltpeter always reminds me of saltpeter. That's the stuff they used to give prisoners to take away their sexual impulse. I mean, you've got a much nicer maiden name. I assume that's your married name. Why go with that? I mean, I don't understand it. And then you've got this Kepi Careers, K-E-P-P-I-E underscore careers. That means nothing. It's kind of catchy. What's up there?
Kind of like Peppy. Peppy Careers.
Yeah, Peppy. Yeah. Come on, Miriam. Let's tell us, what's this saltpeter business?
Well, I do have to say that saltpeter is much better for search engine optimization than my maiden name, which is Cohen. It's a lot less common. But Kepi Careers is named because Kepi is the Yiddish word that means head. And my original tagline for Kepi Careers was Kepi Careers, a head above the rest. So that is why
that's
my business
is called Kepi Careers. That's for the insiders only. First of all, it's for insiders only. If you're going to do that, you might as well keep it going. I mean, really, for those who don't know, Cohen's were the priests in ancient Jerusalem. I think it's a confused branding issue, but let's move on. You've got a book. What's your regular website?
My regular website is kepicareers.com, where I blog, and that's my business hub.
Uh-huh. And what's your business?
My business is as a job search and social media coach. I help people who are looking for positions know how to use the online tools as well as write resumes and coach about all things related to the job hunt.
And you do it on the phone or in person?
Primarily on the phone.
Okay. And now you've written a book, a fantastic book. What's the name of that book?
The book is called Social Networking for Career Success.
And what's the ingenious website address that you created for that book?
It's socialnetworkingforcareersuccess.com.
That's not bad. I mean, it's long, but it makes
sense. It's a little
long. It's not something weird, though. I can almost remember it. If she gave it to me at a party, I know the first two words. I go home, social networking something, and if I remembered saltpeter. In fact, you should change your name to saltpeter. It would be, you know. Maybe lots of people don't know saltpeter. Anyway, Miriam, we're going to talk just a tiny bit about what Jerry taught me and what we put into your book. Okay? Is that
okay.
fair?
Sounds great.
Now, I have to tell you, I'm going to preface that. Sorry, everybody. You can chime in. People can chime in from now on. But anyway, I saw an article on recruitingblogs.com today. I got to tell you, going through the – you know, Jason Davis runs that site, and it's great. But, I mean, going through the articles I looked at today, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. I mean, like, people just should put signs on their back and say, I'm stupid. And the first guy I'm going to pick on, he's not really stupid. He is a very rich man, I'm assuming. He's very intelligent. He runs a huge recruiting firm network. His name is Greg Savage. And he said he's got an article. He's got an article on recruiting blogs. It's called "Don't Be a LinkedIn Tart." T-A-R-T. That's like slut, right? Don't be a LinkedIn slut. And here's what he says. The first thing he says. Firstly, he's from Australia. Let's get away from chasing numbers when it comes to connections. Target your niche. For goodness sake, he writes, I seldom send connection requests, but when I do, I know the person, I will have met or dealt with that individual, I will certainly be sure that person is in a related field and that there's potential for our business objectives to overlap, and blah, 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 blah. And then he goes on to say, I do not accept all requests to connect. You know, that's extremely silly because in LinkedIn before, if you could only be found and you could only search the database, LinkedIn is a big database of resumes, essentially, profiles, and you could only search people who were within three degrees of you. What Jerry pointed out to me is now you can search everybody. Is that right, Miriam?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. The thing is, though, now that might, you know, justify what Greg is saying here. Maybe I'm talking too much. Am I talking too much, Miriam? Do you want to talk?
I'd be happy to talk.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You talk now. Talk!
Okay, well, since we're talking about the information and advice you gave in the book, it's on page 122 for people who are keeping track.
Does it spill over to page 123?
It does, actually.
All right.
and it's in a nice shaded box, so So, and the publisher didn't give me any trouble about saying it was by the recruiting animal. So that was all great. LinkedIn now allows you to search by relevancy. So anyone can type in keywords or terms and find results based on those keywords and terms, that even if those people are not connected via 1, 2, or 3 degrees. The catch is that anyone who is not at least a second degree connection will not their name will not show up in their profile when the result when the person clicks on the result. Unless,
so you get your results, you don't have to be connected to people within 3 degrees anymore. I should have just kept talking. Sorry, but they don't show you the name after 2 degrees. Is that right?
That's right.
So,
unless the person has a paid account, in which case the person's name will show up.
Okay, but then Greg Savage is wrong, because in order to find people's names, you have to still be connected to as many people as possible, right?
For the names to show up, it does help to be connected to people so you have more second-degree connections. However, as you point out in the book, which I think is really important for job seekers to keep in mind, it's possible to find the person's name based on some of the information that usually shows up even if you're not connected. So you can do a search on Google. You can do a further search with the company to find the person's name. There are other ways to source that information.
You know what? When you do, you have to point out then, when you do a search on Google, you have to take the exact words from the job title they've supplied, like Bob, our guest today, he's got VP Corporate Solutions at Interactix Limited. You copy that, you put it right in Google, and then it'll probably give you him, right?
Most likely it will, yes.
Now, I have to tell people something. Okay, go ahead.
You want me to go ahead? A good tip for job seekers to consider to help them be found and to make it easy for anyone who's looking for them and is sourcing them but their name isn't coming up is to include their full name in their summary section on their LinkedIn profile.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right. They should put their email address there too, right?
They could. Absolutely, yes. As much the idea is to make it as easy as possible for people to connect with you.
Yeah, but people really, they don't figure that out. What, Jared?
This is Bob. Would including your phone number be valuable to the recruiters?
Sure.
I'll let the recruiter answer that. Yeah. I personally don't suggest that I don't tell my clients that they need to put their phone number online, but if someone is comfortable doing that, then obviously it can make it easy to give you a call.
Real easy.
Yeah.
Real easy. It looks like people have clicked. Some people have clicked they want to talk. They're allowed to talk. 708. Who's that? Area code 708. Is that one of the guests?
Sounds
okay,
like Chicago.
That's Bob. Area code 770. Who's that?
That would be me.
Okay. Area code 260. 513. Do they want to talk? Are you waiting to talk, 513?
Hey, Animal.
No. Yeah?
Hey, Animal. It's
job search coach?
Yeah, the contact information should be sorted throughout the summary. It should be in the front, right up at the top. It should be all throughout the entire profile. It should be visible. Contact information, everything from phone number to email address. I mean, if people want you that bad enough, they're going to call you. They're not going to go through email.
Okay, great.
Can you also add the word seeking or available? Something like that, because a lot of times when I'm doing a search, I'll start off with my, you know, the couple of keywords I'm looking for in the area and also go for the word seeking. And a lot of people put it in there and they come right to the top. Just throwing that out there. Sure.
Miriam.
Which is interesting. Yes, Animal.
Answer.
She was answering my question. Don't interrupt. God.
I have a question about the issue of seeking, because that is actually one of the a little bit controversial things for job seekers to figure out. A lot of recruiters, in my research and talking to them, prefer to source people who are not actually in an active job hunt.
That's
so
ridiculous and baloney. And whoever says that is drinking a little too much of the Kool-Aid.
So you're saying that for some recruiters, having the information that the person is in a job hunt, is looking for a job, would not work against them.
It would The people that would work against them with, no, it's not going to hurt at all. I think it's ridiculous to think that we're overlooking people who are looking for a job. It's preposterous.
Anybody else want to chime in on that? I know it's a big issue on Hire Friday.
Yeah, this is something that recruiters go back and forth about endlessly. Jerry's got a strong opinion on it, but that doesn't mean there's not a ton of recruiters who disagree with him.
Nobody disagrees with me, Manister.
That's the famous
Sorry, Jerry. Dave Manister.
At D Manister for the Kingfish of ERE. So does any other recruiter want to chime in there?
I think it's preposterous. I think some
you know what? Get off
you're
the
not a recruiter.
You're going to talk. Get off the speakerphone. Oh, you're on Skype. Get back on the speakerphone. Hey, listen, recruit for you. Learn how to spell Kepi Careers. It's got an E-K-E-P-P-I-E underscore careers. Okay, we're going to move on. Kepi, you're here. Are you going to stick around or are you leaving immediately?
I can stick around.
It's up to you, but the longer you stay, the bigger a target you become, okay? I'm just warning you.
Okay.
Well, then I got to go.
Okay, so look, Robert, we're coming to you now. Your name is Robert Brogan. Now, Chris Brogan is a famous social media blogger. You're not related to him, are you?
I'm not. I do follow him. He's always got interesting perspectives
out
there. You just
follow him because he's got the same last name as you.
Well, I like French words. I like French words.
Fine.
He's from
at
Montreal.
Robert Brogan. At Robert Brogan. But let me ask you something before we get started. I'll call you Robbie. Look, let me ask you. If a recruiter was to say to you, Robbie, I like what you're saying, and I want my client to hear it too, so I'm going to record you answering the key interview questions and attach the recording to your resume. So when the hiring manager gets the resume, he's going to see a play button on it right at the top, and when he presses it, he's going to hear you. Would that be okay with you, Rob?
It'd be okay as long as they accept that.
Can you talk into the receiver? Don't make me angry, okay? Now, would you be nervous? Is that what you're saying? Would you be nervous if somebody said, I'm going to tape your conversation?
No.
Okay. Now I want all the recruiters to know that product is available to you. Jerry Albright, who's sitting right here, he invented it, and it's called Verbal Summary. And you can read all about it at verbalsummary.com, verbalsummary.com. Jerry, do you want to say anything before I move on?
All I can say is it rocks, and my clients do accept it, and they look forward to it.
Is it free to job seekers?
It's not really for job seekers, Margo.
Yeah, geez, don't you know what it is? What's it for job seekers? Job seekers who want to do that, go to Cinch, at Cinch on Twitter. You can record everything you want. Job seekers can go to Blog Talk Radio and record something, then edit it on Audacity. And send off all kinds of recordings if they
hey,
want. Now, Robert,
hey, Animal, we provide it as well if job seekers need it.
At Job Search Coach, WorthingtonCareers.com, WorthingtonCareers.com, and don't anybody forget about AllCountyJobs.com. Now, Robert, tell us about yourself. We're going to be
finally
talking while you're talking.
23 minutes in.
Hey,
okay,
I had another guest. Didn't you like her? Hey, Jerry, you got a problem? What's wrong with Kepi Careers?
I don't have a problem.
Okay. Robert, go ahead. Who are you?
I'm a senior executive that's looking for an operations or performance improvement position with a smaller, medium-sized business. What I bring to the table is a cross-functional view of the business and having had line management experience and driven profitability improvement, sales growth. And,
you know what? You're putting me to sleep, and you're putting my audience to sleep as well. Don't you have any punctuation in your voice? You're talking in a monotone. Now, listen, let's put that to the side for a second. I want to talk about your Twitter picture. Do you wear glasses, and did you take them off when you took that picture? Because, you know, your eyes look kind of freaky. They've got a crazy, wide-open look. Did anybody look at that picture, Robert Brogan? Open up the big version. I've got it on recruitinganimalshow.com. They look kind of – I like the picture. Aesthetically, I liked it quite a bit. But you look scary. Did you nobody ever mentioned that to you?
No, come on.
No, she's groaning in the background. Go take a look at it.
I think he just hung up, man.
I'm not worried about no. Nobody's
all right.
Told me that.
Way to hang in there, Robert.
Okay, now look at your bio on Twitter. Let's just start with the easy stuff. Bio,
okay.
result achieving leader. I got to tell you, that's laughable, meaningless, standard bragging. Recruiter Mo was on this show a few weeks ago, and he gave us a list of the most used hackneyed words on LinkedIn, and results-oriented is one of them. Kepi Careers, you want to comment on that?
Yes, results-oriented is pretty common on resumes and on the LinkedIn profiles. It's usually best to focus on exactly what it is you have to offer that would be unique for the employer.
So result-achieving, that's not good, is it? He should take it off his bio, right?
I would suggest changing that, yes.
Okay, what about this line, Kepi? Unique ability to bridge chasm between strategy and execution. That doesn't mean anything either, does it?
It would be a little bit difficult for someone reading that quickly to know exactly what he's trying to say.
Yeah, hey, Jeremy, job search coach, does that mean
yes,
anything
sir.
To you?
That's cliche. It's BS at the end of the day.
Good, thank you.
Is
okay.
it BS at the start of the day or
Absolutely.
Just at the end?
Right when you wake up.
In my book, what I advise people
What's
to
the
do
name
in
of your
their
book again?
Social networking for career success. And you can find that on Amazon or at your favorite bookseller. And my cat has come to share. She must have known I'm talking to the animal. She's an escape artist, so just excuse her in the background. What I talk about in the book is focusing on keywords in all social media profiles. So job seekers need to identify how recruiters are looking for them, what words a recruiter might be using or a hiring manager might be using to look for the job seeker and include those words as much as possible in all social media profiles.
So where do they find those keywords? Do they look up, do they go to Indeed.com or Simply Hired and look up a job with the title that they're interested in, and then they look at the job description and they pick out the words that the companies are using themselves?
That's the number one way is lots of job descriptions are very in-depth, and comparing job descriptions from different companies is a great idea. Pick out the words that are most common. Another way to source job description, to source keywords outside of job descriptions is to actually look at the information that employers provide on their websites and on their social media profiles, as well as an idea that I really like is to look at information from professional conferences and see what kinds of words and descriptions they're using, what kinds of problems they're solving, and what their speakers are talking about, and to use that to also source keywords.
Here's a novel approach. How about as opposed to – I'm looking at his – bio on Twitter, and I don't know what he does. I where's his position? He didn't put in, I am a this. He just put a bunch of descriptors, as opposed to, again, a position that he functions in or an industry that he performs that function.
Yeah.
So what do you do there?
Okay, but let's go to the third line in there. I liked it a little better, at least half of it. Consistently raised stakeholder value in supply and service-related companies. I like that line, consistently raise stakeholder value. It means something, I guess. Supply and service-related companies, am I just ignorant, or is that too vague? Kepi?
I think the idea is to be as specific as possible.
Yep.
Yeah.
Give me
Jerry,
specifics. I need
Jerry,
specifics.
Yeah. Okay,
I can't picture what he does.
Do you
me
want
either.
Dollar amounts and stuff like that in the detail, or how detailed do you drive it?
Well, you're a logistics, you're a distribution and logistics guy, right?
Yes.
Well, then say that. Distribution and logistics executive with X amount of years experience, blah, 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 blah.
Are you supply chain?
Yes. Mostly logistics, but
okay.
Extended supply chain, yeah.
What was your last title, Robert?
VP of business development because I was I'm returning to an industry from e-learning industry.
Robert?
Yes.
Do you have any Dynamics AX in your background at all?
Dynamic, I'm sorry.
Dynamics AX.
No.
Okay. Because I could have maybe helped you, but I still may be able to.
Is it Robert or Bob?
You can go with Bob. If you're talking ERP and fixing a Dynamics problem, I've done it.
You have. Do you want to send your resume to me?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, I'll tell you who that is. That's C-Manis, C-M-A-N-N-I-S-1. You'll talk to her after the show, okay, about your personal stuff. Okay, so listen, you got some advice for some very heavy hitters here. You got Kepi Careers, you got Job Search Coach, you got Jerry, and you got me, all telling you that your Twitter page is garbage. I mean, really, you're a smart guy. I can tell you're smart just from your LinkedIn profile, which is also poorly written, by the way. How come you screwed up so badly there? That's what I want to know.
I followed a resume writer's advice.
Oi.
Ooh, yeah.
You gotta be
was it free advice?
Wow.
Or was it paid advice?
Was that incorrect?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Cliches are 80s, man. Cliches, 80s and early 90s, man. Leave all the cliches out of your resume. I don't want to know how you are. I want to know what you are, and I want to know what you've done, and that's it. Tell the story.
Okay. Now, I'd like to go to his LinkedIn profile. Everybody, if you go to recruitinganimalshow.com, you can just link over. It says LinkedIn. Click on LinkedIn, and you'll see his profile. Is everybody okay with anybody else want to talk about any other issues? Kepi Careers, you want to talk about anything else before we move on? I want to tell a little story about Kepi before we go. Jerry and I ran this test. Jerry said, look, he said, look at this. Let's run these tests. And he said, you'll see that, he said, I think I had 4,000 connections on LinkedIn, and Jerry had 1,800. And he said,
no, I think I had 4,000, and you had 1,800.
Fine, Jerry, you had 10,000, and I only had 500.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
And he called me up. He called me up and he said, we'll run the exact same words in the search engine on LinkedIn. And he says, you'll see we'll get the exact same number of returns in every search.
And you thought that was preposterous for me to even suggest that.
Nobody knew at the time. But as soon as I saw that it worked, we did it 7 times. I was totally amazed. And I wrote it in. I told Kepi Careers. I wrote it up. And I think I don't know if that's the reason she asked me, whatever, but I contributed it as my chapter, the new situation on LinkedIn. And she didn't believe it. She said, I'm going to go and do it myself. So she did it herself, and she did it without any connections. She created an account and did it without any connections, and she found that she got the same number of results. Now, I thought she was crazy and a bit obsessive, but that makes you know that if she says something, she's tested it. She just doesn't go blabbing like everybody else, okay? Am I right, Kepi?
You're right, Animal. I appreciate that.
Okay, I didn't like you for it at the time, but now I value it. I can always say this kook went out and tested it for real.
Hey, Bob. We have a suggestion from Mel Benwell, one of Animal's neighbors, that perhaps you might consider using your LinkedIn profile picture. She feels it's a lot warmer than your Twitter one. So helpful suggestion.
Much better,
there.
But I don't know if it's going to. I don't know if it's scalable. I don't know if it's big
enough.
It's
all scalable.
Not necessarily, but Mel Benwell is correct. His LinkedIn picture is much better. Okay, so let's go over to his LinkedIn profile. I have all kinds of job hunting stuff to talk about today, but since this guy's here and we promised to put him through the ringer, cut his guts out, that we might as well deliver, okay? Now, he's got his name there. It's Bob Brogan. I think it's a little warmer than Robert Brogan. You know, but Bobby, Robbie,
you know,
whatever.
A couple of things coming up here that are important for job seekers to keep in mind. It's a good idea to be consistent across social media profiles. So, for example, the picture, you know, pick one photo, use it in both places, and then the same thing with the name.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Just because it's easier for people to keep track, you know, picture's worth a thousand words. You look at, I looked at the LinkedIn picture and I said, oh, is that the same guy? You know, am I in the right place?
Well, how long are we studying these people before we either just connect with them or we don't? I mean, I'm not out here looking at pictures.
In general,
I'm a recruiter.
Pictures are just one part of what should be consistent. So we have Robert Brogan on the Twitter page, and we have Bob in the LinkedIn page. It's just a good idea in general to be consistent.
Okay, and I'm just from the recruiter's perspective, I don't care. Bob, Robert,
okay.
You know, if I'm looking for a logistics guy, good picture, bad picture, anything but nude. I don't need nude, but I'm gonna connect with you.
Okay. With a picture that size, you wouldn't see very much, Jerry. Let me tell you. Anyway.
Okay.
Okay. So he's got his name down as Bob Brogan, and the headline right under it, it doesn't say anything much at all. Exec problem solver means nothing. I'm a problem solver. Show me. That's just telling me you're an exec problem solver is a waste of space. Then he says, deliver rapid. This is a technical term I didn't look up. What does it mean? EBITDA.
Yeah, what
Bobby.
That means is earnings before income tax and depreciation. It's a financial measure for CEOs and financial people.
If it means something to you, you'd recognize it, animal.
Okay.
You can leave it in there. It's a keyword. It's a buzzword.
It's a good keyword. That one, Bobby, is a good searchable keyword, right?
Yes.
No one's going to find you through problem solver, and if they find you through these other keywords and they see problem solver, that's just getting in the way. It doesn't mean anything. So deliver rapid, how do you say that? How do you say that jargon-wise? EBITDA?
EBITDA.
EBITDA. EBITDA, yeah. Value for performance improvement available for interim FT assignment. So that's good, but you know what? Let's say someone's available like you are for temporary assignments. Interim, is that a good keyword? Kepi, what would you suggest?
I wouldn't pick interim. That wouldn't be my choice.
What would be your choice? Don't make me haul it out of you.
I would just say seeking opportunity.
I mean,
opportunity. I'm still not totally convinced that that putting that in the headline is entirely advisable. But it's something to try for, I think, a short term basis. In the book, I have a story about somebody who, when she first was looking, put in that she was seeking an opportunity, and she was relatively quickly contacted by someone in her network. So I think anyone who's looking for a job. When they begin their job search, it's useful and important to put that in, let your network know. But if you're seeking an opportunity for a long term, I'm not sure that that's useful for the long term. But I know that there's some disagreement.
Okay, you know what? I think I like it. I mean, I like it that he not only says he's available or he's seeking an opportunity to put that in, but the fact it's hard to identify people who are willing to take on temporary assignments. I like that he said it. Right up there. I don't know if he's using the right words, but Bob, pat on the back. You got a point. But I'm going to take away another point. You're obviously one of these consultants who's a consultant just to fill in the time between jobs. We kind of sneer at people like that. And when I see that you're calling yourself managing director of what I know is like a basement operation or assume is a basement operation, it makes me disrespect you, to be quite frank. Am I right about that? It's just you in your bedroom or something like that, and you're calling yourself by a huge title?
That's what it is.
Yeah, okay. Don't hesitate. Answer me when I ask, okay? So what does anybody else think about that? Could he do something different? Even consultant would be much better. These have to be searchable keywords. Are you looking for a managing director's job? No. So that's ridiculous. Anybody want to comment, or is it just so obvious we don't have to say anything more about it?
I think it's really important for job seekers to use the titles to be as descriptive as possible. So if someone is a vice president, you know, there are tens of millions of vice presidents out there, and that isn't making them unique or distinct. It's more useful to put something that's descriptive in the title and that's also searchable.
So his title here, the next one down, is VP Corporate Solutions. I don't think that's bad. Should you put in Vice President or VP? Does it make a difference? Does the computer or the search engine understand both? I think it it returns both, no matter what you put in, right?
I haven't tested that, but I think that you probably could use either one.
Okay. So that one's not bad, although that company, Interactix, what's that mean, Bobby?
What does that mean? The company?
Yeah,
that's,
it sounds like a dinosaur.
It's a learning and social networking platform for corporations.
Okay. You know what? I have a question coming up. Does anybody want, there's a lot of people here. Anybody want to ask a question? Or talk to them or, you know, chew them out or something? Anybody? No? Okay, let me ask you something. You were a salesman. Like, you were a senior salesman at IBM. Am I right about that?
I was a senior consultant and salesman, yes.
Okay. Now, has that helped you, being a salesperson, with your job search? Because usually we consider that to be the weak point of job hunters. They don't know how to market anything. You know, they don't have the guts to pick up the phone. They're not comfortable talking to people. You know, they're way out of their league. You're used to that. Has that changed anything for you?
It really hasn't. I haven't used it as a strength in the search yet.
What does that mean?
That means I haven't used the being a salesperson as
you haven't called anybody directly? Is that what it means?
No, I've called plenty of people directly. What it means is, you know, it's not an objective of mine to be a salesperson.
Why not? What, shouldn't it be? You're selling yourself. You're marketing yourself.
I agree with that. I understand that. I didn't mean it like that. I wasn't looking for a sales position.
Yeah, he's not looking for sales, Animal. That's...
Yeah, but he's trying to sell himself. Is it an advantage when you're marketing yourself to have been a salesperson? If you're like a bean counter, so theoretically...
No, I think it always is.
I have a...
Yeah.
Bob?
Go ahead.
I have a question for you. I noticed that you're a member of a lot of good groups. Have you posted discussions on all of those groups that you're looking for?
Hold on a second. Wait a second. I want my question answered first. Doesn't anybody think that being a salesperson should help you like 1,000% in your job search? Job search coach, do you have an opinion about that?
Absolutely. You have to understand that you're in some sort of a competition, and you have to be a bit more proactive on your search.
You know how to approach people. I'm asking this guy a question. He can't give me
sales is not his strength. Is that possible?
He needs to be taught how to do so. He needs to be taught. It's not enough, okay, job seekers of the world. It is not enough just to plaster a presentation up on the internet and sit back and pray. You must be much, much more proactive in distributing your information. Pick up the phone, call somebody, call your network, reach out to people.
Yeah, but that's what salespeople are used to doing. That's my point.
So he has to be
taught.
Exactly. You're right.
Let me ask you a question. I'll ask you a clear question. You told me that you've helped recruiters find jobs. Just because you're a recruiter doesn't mean that you necessarily know how to search for a job. If you're a salesperson with strong sales skills, does that mean you don't necessarily know how to market yourself?
I think it does mean that. I think there are a lot of salespeople who can sell their product but don't have a clear sense of how to market their own abilities. I think that is absolutely true.
Why
well
that?
Said, and I agree with that. There's a lot.
Why?
What?
I don't understand. Somebody tell me.
Why is that? I think it's because salespeople are accustomed to learning and studying about a product and being able to market that and focus on what's good about that product, having a pitch for that product, but they don't think about the job search in the same way, and they might not know what it is that they have to offer.
Okay, and your name is Kepi Careers, @KEPPIE_careers, and you've written a book called...
The book is called Social Networking for Career Success. You can
and
find it on Amazon.
Yeah, URL is the exact same.
Yes, sir.
Social Networking for Career Success, right?
.com, yes.
.com.
Are we still
okay.
on Bob's LinkedIn profile?
Yeah, you want to say something, Jerry?
Well, the objective is buried down there in the middle, and also it just is really very ambiguous, and I'd like to see some specifics there. It says, seeking to lead a talented team of experts within a function or operating unit to deliver improved profitability, cash flow, and operational improvement while extending its reach via partnerships and alliances.
Let's rate that on a scale of 1 to 10. I'm going to give it a 0.
3. Now,
Kepi?
We need some specifics in there.
Kepi, would you rate that on a scale of 1 to 10?
I think it can be much more specific and targeted. And
I knew you wouldn't give a straight answer. I knew it. I knew it. Job search coach got guts?
No, he gets a 5. He needs to establish where and exactly what industry, what environment he wants to perform this function. You need to be much straightforward. All this stuff is no duh. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. That's why you're put on this earth, to put out fires, to make money, to save money,
cash
to lead
flow,
teams. Right. Tell somebody exactly where you want to do this and what tools you want to utilize to get it done.
Additionally,
let
me just say one other thing. The concept of the objective is honestly a little bit dated, because no one is really interested in what you're looking for. They're interested in what you can do for them. So identifying objective and saying, you know, what you want to do is not as useful as identifying exactly how you are able to contribute to what someone's looking for you to do.
Okay, so what should he be putting there? What should it say? Hey, Kathy, I haven't forgotten your question. We'll be back to it in a minute. Go
so
ahead.
What should it be, Kepi? Not objective.
Should it be
a summary?
Absolutely. It should be a headline objective that defines, you know, either one, the position that he's going for, or the position that he functions in. Okay,
right.
So senior level supply chain manager. Okay, if you're going to go out generically, all
right,
if you will, if you're going to go and target a position, then put that up there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what
and
about
also,
this? The guy
it's important to also
ahead.
It's important to also make it clear that you've done these things. So, you know, I don't want to hire someone who wants to improve profitability. I want to hire someone who has improved profitability.
Well, how about
continue
improving profitability?
Yeah, okay, hold on a second. Let me just get stuff about here's how he describes himself. Esteemed senior business executive. Oh, jeez. I don't like people who call themselves esteemed. You know?
What about honorable?
Yeah. It's the same kind of thing.
I couldn't put what I wanted to put. No, I'm kidding.
What do you mean you couldn't put
it
there?
You wanted to put kick ass.
I wanted
kick
ass. Yeah.
Ass put that
you can
in.
Say stuff like that here, Bob.
I think you can. Anyway, but esteemed is not good. Kathy Manis, you come back here. You want to know if he's been working the groups on LinkedIn to get himself a job. Is that right? Is that your question?
Right.
Yes, I have.
And what have you done, Bobby? Come on. Tell us.
What I've done is where I've identified companies and businesses, I've gone through and researched both the company, the opportunity, the people that I know.
What do you take the phone away from your mouth?
No, I'm not taking the phone away from my mouth. Here's what I do. I go through LinkedIn. I look at what jobs and opportunities are there, what people I know within there, discussions within job boards where I've provided value, and those are the combination of things that I've done when I've targeted specific companies.
What
Does
about
that matter? Do you hear it all?
Kathy, go ahead.
I was going to say, you don't necessarily have to target specific companies. I mean, if you're a member of a group, why don't you just start a discussion? Because there's so many recruiters from so many different companies that are members of that group, so start a generic discussion about your job search.
Okay.
What do you mean, Kathy? Be more specific now yourself.
Okay. What I mean is just say I'm looking for ABC type of work with an ABC type of environment, maybe the geography or if you want virtual, and just post it as a discussion. And you get a lot of replies on that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Did anybody else ever try that? Anybody else comment on that?
I also think it's a good idea for job seekers to not only be out on social media just to let people know what they're looking for, but to demonstrate their expertise, to share value, to share news.
I was thinking the same thing.
To illustrate that they know what's going on.
Jen Beatty, J-E-N-B-A-T-Y, an alumnus kind of. of the Recruiting Animal Show. She says LinkedIn groups are a time waste, especially the cluster in the way they are set up now. Too much spam. I don't know. Anyway, so somebody has to do it.
Personally,
also,
I like Twitter for job seekers.
Uh-huh.
I think it's a great way to demonstrate value and to connect with people without requiring an introduction. But I really focus, and the philosophy that I focus on when I wrote the book is to teach job seekers how it's not about going out there with a big J on your forehead and saying, hello, I'm a job seeker, can anyone help me? It's about going out as an expert in your field and demonstrating that expertise and attracting people to you as a result of sharing advice and information.
Playing the role of a consultant.
Can I ask a question there, Adam? It's Bill. I've got a question, which is, do you think that the people who really demonstrate expertise promote themselves as job seekers, or do they get, or do people think not to ask them if they're looking for a job?
I think
that's quite important.
I think that if somebody is out there as an expert and a recruiter or hiring manager is looking to hire somebody, that they would be just as likely to contact that person and say, are you interested, even if that person isn't out there, hello, I'm a job seeker, saying that in their profiles.
But there's a lot of people who you assume are not looking for a job because they keep it fairly well hidden because they're trying to present this personal brand of being an expert. I think we get too carried away with that, to be honest.
Okay, interesting point. Let me just take – I have a minute. Resume Strategy has listened to this show a million times. She knows that if someone wants to talk, they call in. They can just speak up and say, I want to say something. And here she's whining that she raised her hand. She pressed 1 and raised her hand, and I didn't call on her. I'm a busy man. I can't read these boards at the same time as I'm thinking about what people are saying. If you are you on the line now, you can speak up. Are you here? Resume Strategy. Now's your moment. She's not here. She's
Rebecca left. Sargent also wondered if we could hear her.
I can't hear her. Okay, 90.
Oh, Skype or something.
905, or is that you, Rebecca?
Sounds awful.
Yeah, you know, these people call in through tin cans and they expect us to listen to them. I don't know what they're talking about. Bob, we're almost out of time. Let me ask you something else. Let's talk about the age issue. You're no spring chicken, right?
Correct.
Bob, pardon, I can't hear you. What?
Correct. I'm no spring chicken.
Yeah. Okay, now, there's a couple of things here. You know, I'm wondering if you have to address that issue or if you – because I've heard two things about – middle-aged workers. On the one hand, there's the negative. They're arrogant. They think they know everything. They don't want to learn anything. But I just read an article that said if someone wants to start a business, the guys who are going to be successful are usually middle-aged people who've been working for somebody else for a long time because they really know their stuff. You can't learn management from a book. So if you're 20 years old and you start a business, you're way more likely to flop because you know a lot less than someone who's been around the block. Do you address this issue? Are you worried about it? Do you have any ammo, like arguments like this, when you have a hint that people are concerned about it?
No, I think I've spent my entire career looking at trying to how to build and manage a business, okay? And whoever is going to hire me is going to get the benefit.
You know what? Your voice is going in and out. Put your mouth to the phone.
Okay. Whoever's going to hire me is going to get the 25 years benefit for the next 20 years of whatever I do, whether it's through a consulting operation, a small consulting operation, or a business that I joined. So they're going to get that benefit of the last 25 plus the next 20.
Yeah, okay, you gave it like a – okay, thanks for that answer.
He's under the next protected class. You know that white men over 45 now are now under a protected class.
All right.
Wow.
Finally.
Kepi Careers.
Finally.
Kepi, we're almost out of time. Kepi,
I got something to look forward to.
What about this age issue? Kepi Careers, are you still there?
I am here.
Well, how should he address that? Is there an age issue, you know, if you're over 40?
There's obviously an age issue, but it's not useful to focus on age as an issue. I talk to a lot of job seekers who have a lot of experience who believe that the reason they're not getting a job is because of their age, and usually that's not why. Usually it's because they aren't pitching themselves, their resumes aren't good, they aren't using the social networks, they aren't
appearing up to date. Or they just plain suck.
Because
I mean, I'm
throwing
out there.
They aren't doing a good job in their job search. So there are a lot of companies who prefer mature workers, and it's a good idea to identify those companies and to target them.
I place mostly old people.
They sell old. You can see them coming a mile away.
I do. I mean, the average age of the people I place, probably, I don't know, 52.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now one there. More thing, Kevin. We're wrapping up. This guy, you know, looking at his education and his career, fellow Robbie Brogan, he seems like he must be a pretty smart guy, but like we've been cutting the, I don't know, everything out of him because we don't think he did a very good job on Twitter. We don't think he did a good job on LinkedIn. I mean, he said, oh, he blamed it on a professional resume writer. He didn't have to take that person's advice if it wasn't any good. So we're saying that you know, somebody who is smart, and again, even if they're a sales rep, they're not a good job hunter. Yes or no?
It's not, they're not necessarily a good job hunter. That's right.
Oh, boy. Okay. And this, let me ask you one more thing. When this guy's talking to us, sorry, he sounds like he's talking in a monotone. I find it difficult. Is that something he can correct, or is it just because he's on the show? Or what's your experience of the way he's communicating here?
I think there are a lot of different ways that someone can improve their performance, you know, how they present themselves. There are coaches who help people with that, and that could certainly be something he might want to think about.
Uh-huh. That's kind of an oblique way of agreeing with me. Like job search coach, I like the way he talks. Dave Manister, completely different voice. I have no problem following him because there's some fluctuation there. You know, but this is a smart guy. I'm not saying he's not, okay? So it's an issue I just had. Anybody else want to talk about anything else? We're almost done. Last word's going to go to Robert Brogan, the uncle of Chris Brogan.
Thank you very much. I appreciate all the feedback.
Yeah, talk into the phone. Do I have to remind? Can everybody hear him?
I am
just me
speaking into
not
the
while
phone.
You're talking over him, dude, but yeah, I've heard him every time he said anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
The odd times that he's had a chance.
Yeah, you're a hearing aid. You got to get your hearing aid fixed. It's an age issue.
I'm on another line.
I want to thank you. The feedback and information was great, and I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, I'm glad you had the guts. It could have been a little faster moving. I'm very happy that Kepi Careers, my kind of longtime friend, sometimes enemy on social media, has appeared. She's lots of fun to have on. You're welcome to come back again. And tell us the name of your book one more time.
Thank you, Animal, for having me on. It's Social Networking for Career Success.
Is there a link on Animal's blog where people can get your book?
On Recruiting Animals Show, there's a link. It says book, and it's hyperlinked to her book. And now we're going to go to Jerry's after show. I just have to tell the guests, Bobby Brogan, me, and Kathy Careers, we're not allowed there. Go
another job hunter show in the books. Let's guess what that beep is. Somebody's in a factory and there's a forklift backing up with a pallet on it.
Oh, heaven. Turn it off. I'm going to try to turn it off.
Good.
You know what? Let me just see if it was somebody or they did it themselves. That was deliberate, okay? All the lines are open. I'm going to have some lunch.
Both of the lines are open to me?
I'll
be ya.
There's 11 people there, Jerry and Chris.
11 people, all right. I don't know if I still know what that guy did. He is a supply chain guy, logistics manager, warehouse distribution, what? Does anybody know? Who was that? Okay.
I'm picking up my coffee. Nobody's
can't hear you. Don't know what's happening. Sorry about that. We're gonna have to let you go. Let's jump into some quick scores here because this after show is starting off kind of flat. Job search coach.
I'm here. Okay, caller gets a 70. Animal gets a 75. Caller did well. I mean, if you're going to judge his job search strategy in his campaign, he would get lower. But if you're just scoring his appearance here on the show, 70, 75.
What do you think about his picture?
I think he probably needs to, there needs to be, you know, a little bit of consistency. I mean, on Twitter, I wouldn't look too goofy. Not at his age and at his with his stature. So I'd probably maybe get it a little bit more informal, but at least a little bit more pleasing. And on his LinkedIn, fine, great, do a headshot.
On the topic that Kepi mentioned, which is you need to have the same profile picture everywhere you go.
No.
Is that just something that social media trainers, which I guess she is, it's just one of the, I mean, they just have to have a whole list of stuff to talk to people about, like, hey, you need to know this and you need to know that.
I strongly disagree with that, Jerry. This is Bill. I strongly disagree with that. I think you actually need a different picture for Facebook because it's a different tone of channel.
Sure, exactly. I totally agree. I mean, it's different arenas. You're playing, it's a playground, Twitter, you know, Facebook, but the other one's more of the boardroom.
Mm-hmm. Like, here's me at 8 a.m. ready to do some business, and then here's me around 9:30 at night after a successful day.
Or suffering through a bender in the driveway.
Yeah. Here's me, I don't know where my car is, but...
My keys were stolen by some chick
in
the bar.
Hey, Bill Borman, give us your scores on a scale of 1 to 100.
1 to 100, we do this time around. I would give Animal 80.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I thought he had a very good show.
Mm-hmm.
And the two guests, are we scoring both guests?
Oh, I forgot, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I would give Robert probably 60.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
He stood up okay to Animal. I was just unclear what he was saying a lot of the time, and I thought that the other guest I would score 70.
Yeah,
but I'll probably buy the book, so there you go.
Jeremy, I think we do, this might be the first time ever for three different scores. We need a score for Kepi.
Give Kepi an 85. She did well.
Okay.
I didn't agree with everything she was saying, for example, the picture thing, but give her an 85. She did well. She held her own.
Okay. Anybody else still on the line that cares to comment? Give us a score, anybody.
I'll give a score. Margo Rose. Yeah, I would give the host, Animal, a 90, and I'd give both guests a 90. I thought they did a good job.
Huh. Okay, that was easy. Nothing too controversial there. Anybody else?
Jerry.
Hey, man, where you been, Travis?
I've been around, partner.
All right.
I would say... I'd say 70 for Animal. Give Robert a 65. And the other guest, I'll give a 75.
You know, the frustrating thing about the show is that it doesn't turn into a learning op for him. For the job seeker, it turns into here's what's wrong, here's what's wrong, here's what's wrong.
Right.
Yeah, but I think that he got the idea to be a bit more specific. You know, recruiters by nature, unless you're the top high-end niche player that just knows everybody and just has a command of that role that they're recruiting in, most recruiters need it to be kind of self-explanatory when they're looking at so many profiles in a row. I mean, you're on LinkedIn, you're searching for a guy that's maybe done logistics or what have you. I mean, you're scanning through this stuff, and if it doesn't just jump right out at you, at least me, I'm moving on.
Yeah,
that's how I do it.
Can I add an important point on this, Jerry? The way LinkedIn is working now, the semantic match is absolutely key. The semantic match is based on, first of all, skills. Matches against skills when it returns profiles against jobs or searches. And he didn't have a skills profile completed, so that surprised me a bit.
Is that the only place that it searches? Where is the skills area?
It searches first location. The second area of semantic search is then skills, and the third area is job title.
But isn't
that
skills
in terms of candidate relevance? So if the only thing you've got relevant to a job is a job title, you're going to come down either fairly low, or when someone posts a job on LinkedIn, they get recommended 25 LinkedIn profiles. And if you're not in that top 25, you're probably not going to be looked at. And remember, the referral engine is coming in June, which is going to make the matching even more important.
What's happening in June?
The referral engine. The LinkedIn
really?
Referral engine, which is going to really drive the way LinkedIn works.
Right.
It's the semantic matching bit is absolutely key. And you can have 100% profile without having completed the skills section. Because the 100% profile was set up before they added the skills tab. So it's location. And for recruiters, that's quite important because you want to be listing yourself in the location you're recruiting in, not the location in which you're living in, if it's different.
Huh.
Because of where it's going to return you. So LinkedIn works in a very different way now.
Hey, did it have its IPO yesterday or today, or is that still down the road?
I think from what I understand, it's down the road, but not very far down the road.
Hmm.
Within
very
the
cool.
next few weeks.
Anybody else have any scores? Anybody?
This is Maureen.
Maureen, where have you been?
I've been here. I went to the dentist today, so.
Busy blocking all the people that are following you that never say anything?
not yet.
That can be quite a job.
They ain't done. Anyway, Miriam, I give 90. I thought she was great. She was clear and crisp. And Robert, I'm going to give a 75. And Animal, I'm going to give an 85, too.
Did you eat Oreos before you went to the dentist?
Did I do what?
Eat Oreos.
They love that.
My eat dentist Oreos. Is hot, so I eat Oreos before I go in to see her.
Okay.
I need to go, Jerry, but thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, thanks, Bill.
Soon.
Yeah, it's thanks for calling
back.
In, man.
It's good to be back. Speak to you later. Thanks. Bye.
Good to see you, Bill.
Good to see you all.
Okay, anybody else with some scores? Anybody else? Anybody? Nobody? Nobody.
Nobody.
All right, well, I am going to take a late lunch here and run down to the garden center and get some stuff to throw in my garden. Is
hey,
Bob's
Jerry,
garden already in, Maureen?
Yeah, Bob's putting the corn in as we speak.
Nice.
Wow. I'm coming
I've
up,
given
Maureen.
Up growing corn.
Okay, Margo, you're welcome.
Coming up.
Hi, by the 4th of July.
Tomatoes
yeah.
are in. Are yours in?
I've got nothing.
No.
No.
You have to go get it.
Yeah, and I just buy the bigger plants.
You do.
I'll catch right
get
up
get a leg
with
up that way.
Hey, good show, everybody. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah.
Bye,
so
Margo.
Thanks, everybody, and have a strong finish to the week.
Audio.
Talk to you all
bye.
Soon. Bye.